Hey there, where have you been? Welcome to the No Jet Stress podcast, the show that helps you maintain optimal health and peak performance as a road warrior, no matter how much you travel. I'm your host, Christopher Babiodi, traveler wellness advocate, nutritional therapist, author, and ex-flight attendant of 20 years at British Airways, one of the UK's largest airlines. Welcome back to the No Jet Stress podcast. I want to give a quick shout out to businesstravel360.com, who hosts this No Jet Stress podcast and other travel related podcasts. businesstravel360.com for the best podcasts in travel. So I've been reflecting, and in 2023, we had some great guests and some lovely conversations. And I want to take this episode to distill the specifics of one particular podcast episode with Mikki Beyer-Clausen, who is the co-founder of Timeshifter. It was really interesting on many fronts, and I hope to share those specific insights with you. But top of mind right now, through this introduction, were two things. One, the problems of getting valid information into the public domain with reference to jet lag and traveller well-being, and two, the fact that having had the conversations with Mikki, I have taken to modifying the approach I use when I teach my clients how to travel better with the Farewell methodology. So I hope you enjoy. In this episode, we're going to cover circadian science, sleep science, the trouble deciphering the jet lag conversation, the metaphor of the ultimate business trip and what it means to you as a business traveler, the NASA pedigree, as I like to call it, and the distinctions that I've made specifically and that you can benefit from in fashioning the best way to manage your travel well-being, as well as an opportunity to get a tool that can help you align the very specifics that help you master your circadian clock, rhythms, and your contribution to the circadian economy. This episode is titled Light, the Primary Driver for Traveler Wellbeing and Jet Lag Solutions, for good reason. And it's the simple fact that light is our link to nature and is the way in which we are ordered by nature. And I use that word very specifically, in as much as that we as human beings tend to think we are above nature. But no, in our correct setting, we are ordered by nature. And circadian science is the study of rhythms in biological systems. And that's why it affects us in the ways that it does. And that's why when we deviate from this natural pattern, we come into desynchronization, upset, and health challenges, whether we are dealing with jet lag on an aircraft or social jet lag that occurs in the workplace and on the ground or wherever else you may be. The most simplistic way of defining circadian science is just that, the study of biological systems and the rhythm that is inherent in them. And this rhythm is inherent in everything that's alive around us and has been studied for quite some time now. And I bring this up specifically because one of the great distinctions that Mikki Beyer-Clausen discussed and offered was the idea that circadian science is actually quite distinct from sleep science. And while they are related, having an understanding of that distinction is useful in being able to fashion a better type of solution with the correct tools. Why might we want to do this, you ask? Well, simply because oftentimes sleep science is offered as the solution to circadian science problems, and it doesn't hit the mark. We want to be able to make correct distinctions in order to pick the right tools to get the job done. And light is the first and foremost key to helping us do that. Light is supreme in the choice of tools that one could want to choose in order to manage one's jet lag, be it social jet lag or any other type. Sleep science, on the other hand, is the science of how we sleep, what we do when we're sleeping, and quite a few other areas specific to sleep. I guess one way of making a distinction between circadian science and sleep science is that sleep as a science can exist within the understanding of circadian science, but it can't be the other way around, or I'm yet to see it proven factually that it is the other way around. To make the point even more succinctly about this distinction, think about it. Sometimes you may have actually got the right amount of sleep, done as much as you can to mitigate any other disturbing factors, and you still got caught out by jet lag. Why would that be? It's because they are not equal. Sleep science does not equal circadian science. That key distinction is very useful in order for us to, as I say again, pick the correct tools to get the job done. And that job being light means that everything else has to line up behind the use of light in ordering the types of tools that we choose to manage our jet lag symptoms. Mistaking the forest for the trees is not going to get us where we need to go. Recently, I heard of the story of Calvin Harris, the Scottish producer DJ, and I was invited to comment on the fact that he says he uses about 6 egg whites on his trips and that cures his jet lag. And I was invited to comment on that. Well, interesting story, but again, maybe it's something that's particular to him, because you've got to remember we are all individuals and we won't always have the same type of jet lag symptoms. Yes, we have some in common, but as well as, you know, upsetting our sleep rhythms and giving us the desynchronization that we know as jet lag, it also goes to the metabolism of the body. And if perhaps he's dehydrated, and we all know how much dehydration can impact performance in any specific context, if he were to be dehydrated and he were to have 6 egg whites, perhaps that works into that pathway. But that doesn't mean that it's actually addressing all the non-obvious symptoms of jet lag that are embedded in our metabolism and the way that that functions, with or without talking about the idea of any sleep disruption he may or may not encounter. And this brings me on to the other point that we have to understand when we're looking at managing our traveler well-being health. We all have biochemical individuality, and therefore that will also play into what kinds of challenges and what kinds of solutions will be better approaches for us to use. So what we need to do is understand the basic science of circadian science and how to apply it to our specific and particular idiosyncratic biochemistry. I kind of feel I've gone off topic a bit there, but getting back to the point, the trouble deciphering the jet lag conversation stems from the kinds of solutions that people bring to the conversation because they are seeing the trees and not the forest. And on top of that, the urgency with which people seek these solutions is making them more desperate because perhaps they haven't seen the scientific approach, or perhaps because they don't have any other tools than those which they turn to at this moment in time. And one of the things that occurred while I was talking to Mickey was that he told me of a very reputable international newspaper journalist that approached Time Shifter and Mickey. The company is Time Shifter that they represent, and they have the Time Shifter app. Approached them, asking them for their thoughts about jet lag. And their approach was one that I've seen and is commonplace, where the journalists, or the inquirer that is, wants to distill the essence of what you have to offer into a soundbite or something very specific, without understanding that because people are individuals, it's very hard to do that convincingly enough for people to, one, get it across the board, and two, be compelled to take action. So, in paraphrasing Mickey here, the best he can actually do is actually point them towards Time Shifter, the app, but then it seems like he's trying to sell his product. He's not. He understands the complexity and is offering people the opportunity to go to the app, to use it for themselves and adjust accordingly from that. Because that is the jumping off point. It is not the whole solution. For instance, I've used the Time Shifter app and I don't particularly like to use melatonin. So I don't. That's an option. You can also choose whether you use caffeine or not. It's another option. So we have to recognize that getting individual solutions is predicated on trying out the science for itself. And it's harder to put that into a column in a newspaper, as much as you want to share the benefits of something that does actually work. I think I'm sounding a little bit pedantic about this, and it is intentional. And the reason why is because of the value inherent in the scientific approach, because it basically means that this has been tried in an arena that has produced repeatable and consistent results. That is great. And the fact is, if we get this one fact and move forward with it in whatever steps we take, we too can manifest those types of results. So to thread that needle a bit, I'm going to talk about something Mickey brought up, which was the metaphor, or I think it's a metaphor, of the ultimate business trip. And if you don't know the Time Shifter setup, the Time Shifter is actually one of those apps, well, right now it's one of the most downloaded, and it has 7.4 stars out of 5 in the App Store and really good reviews. But the app itself is predicated on the work of a small group of people at Time Shifter that includes Stephen Lockley, and as well as Mickey Beyer Clausen and a few others. And Stephen Lockley, his work has been known to influence the programs at NASA and Formula One. Now, these are arenas where high performance is prized and is important. And the ultimate business trip that I just spoke of is put in the context of, you have astronauts who are training to go to the International Space Station, and they need to do some of that training in different parts of the world. Sometimes it's Japan, apparently sometimes it's other places in Europe, and they have to get on a flight and get off at the other end and go and work with millions of dollars worth of equipment. Now, can you imagine if they got off that flight and were jet lagged and got into $1 million worth of equipment and busted it, or, you know, caused it to malfunction or something of that nature? That would be catastrophic. These guys rely on this same science that exists within Time Shifter in order to get the job done. If they can do that, I think we can too, and we will get complementary results. So, one rhetorical question I have for you is, what is your ultimate business trip? What does that look like? And I mean that in the greater sense of what is your ultimate business trip, but there's a commonality in everybody's ultimate business trip. That commonality is the ability to be present, having flown halfway around the world with some degree of difficulty or stress, arrive jet-lagged, and yet still be present enough to function, whether that's to perform in a high-stakes environment, perform in an environment that's constantly changing and needs you to have your wits with you, or just to be able to be present enough to enjoy the company of the people that you've flown all that way to meet and spend time with. That links into something that I've been an avid advocate of all the while that I had my own flying experience. And that is the ability to be present. As cabin crew, that meant being present for the people I was working with, being present for the passengers in the seats, in the cabins, and more importantly, being present to be able to perform my duties as a safety marshal on the aircraft. So we all have that. We all have that need to be present because we don't just get on a plane willy-nilly. We get on the plane because we need to be somewhere to do something, to see someone and accomplish something. The ability to be present is one of the most important factors that underpins the ultimate business trip. And understanding that can be a driver as well as a bit of an understanding for you as to why it's important and what you need to do to make sure that you are able to maintain and command that presence when you get off the plane at the other end. With so much confusion and different strands of conversation, whether it be sleep, nutrition, exercise, all out online on the web and being, you know, spread, it's sometimes hard to get a realistic handle on what is truthfully useful and what is secondary. With that in mind, I think using something like the time shifter approach, which is based in science, is a very good start. It's something that I like to say, or I like to call, the NASA pedigree. That's what makes listening to Time Shifter and Mickey Beyer Clausen so useful. As they say, fight jet lag and social jet lag with rocket science. Why not, eh? Time Shifter founders are Mickey Beyer Clausen, Stephen Lockley, and Jacob Raven, as well as a host of other people who actually do other work and sit on the advisory team. They have been working in conjunction with NASA and Formula One and other high-performing teams. But they also have the Time Shifter app, which is available to everyone and anyone on the Android and iPhone app stores. So this is not something that is exclusive or particularly expensive. It's worth taking a look at what it has to offer if you are a regular business traveler in particular. But if you travel and you have any discomfort with the travel journey, then this is something that you might want to explore. One of the key things that I really appreciate about the Time Shifter approach is the fact that it builds on something that had gone before that was seen as a good enough approach. And I'm talking about the Argonne Institute approach, which at one time was the recommended methodology that US State Department officials were offered to incorporate into their lifestyles when they flew on US government business. The challenge with the Argonne Institute diet for me was, or it wasn't just a diet, I guess, but it had specific dietary approaches, was that it was too restrictive for people who traveled so frequently or too frequently that some of the steps kind of missed a beat. The beauty of the time shifter approach is that it builds all of that into a cohesive methodology that you can follow, irrespective of how often you travel. And I say that with a caveat, because in my discussions with Mickey, he specifically said, for instance, the most frequently traveled type of person, who is the aviation professional, whether that be a pilot, a flight engineer, or cabin crew, it's not quite at that point for them, because the frequency that they travel with really is quite demanding. But most other types of travelers can actually use the time shifter application to great effect, and therefore it's something that can help a lot of people. I also happen to think that the time shifter approach has quite a few specific things that you can do, that you could do, that perhaps you should do. But in speaking to Mickey, he actually says, you know what, even if you're going to take the most important aspect of a circadian science approach, which is light, and you're going to try and manage that, perhaps you come to a point where you have to take your glasses off, that you're trying to, you know, avoid light with. You take them off, you do what you have to do, you put them back on. In short, basically, if you do 80% of the time shifter approach right, you will get more than better results, or at least good results. And that's great, because, for instance, the Argonne Institute diet was specifically telling you when you should take stuff and when you shouldn't, and when you should wake up and when you shouldn't. I mean, for instance, I think one of their specific recommendations was start getting up 2 or 3 hours before the day of your departure, so that you can be on your destination time and be awake during their daytime. Now, if you do that trip once a year, it might be something that you can reasonably do. But if you're doing that trip every month or every 2 weeks or even less at a higher frequency, that is seriously disruptive. So while you have a lot of complexity that isn't joined together in a seamless system in something like the Argonne Institute approach, you have something that has a few specific rules based around those things that really matter. And I'm laughing at myself, because I feel I'm sounding like I'm selling time shifter to you. But I really want you to understand that if you get this and you do the few things that work, they work, right? They work. They get you the results that you want. That's what's important. And we need to get things that help us get the results that we want, that are efficient at doing that. And that's why I'm coming out on Team Time Shifter, if you wish. I guess I should have mentioned that I have no affiliation with Time Shifter at all. So, moving on. What have I learned and changed? I still offer my clients the farewell approach to managing their jet lag and traveler well-being. And that stands for protection against radiation, hydration, being acclimatized, understanding their rhythms, their biological rhythms, their environments, and the wellness protocols they use to manage those previous 5 steps. That's really the core of what I do and how I approach it. What has happened since this is that I now understand and I place light, which exists within the step related to rhythms, as the primary driver to make sure that that gets adopted when working with people. And there are many ways you can do that, whether you use SAD lights, whether you use far infrared lights, whether you use glasses, whether you alternate or change the times that you get up in the morning for your trips. All of these things become tools that you can use to modulate your exposure to light. Then I wrote a book that you may have heard of. You know, it's Farewell Jet Lag, Cures from a Flight Attendant. That book in itself, I was quite against the use of caffeine. I thought it was the devil's work. No, not quite. But I didn't understand, and there wasn't a lot of science that was consistent. We now know that the science is in, the receipts are in. We understand that as an aid that helps alertness, caffeine has good record and is useful. And it also has a host of antioxidants that are good for you. So we have different varying tolerances for caffeine, but it's now useful in the context of managing jet lag if you want to use it. It's not a choice for everyone, but that's also what the individual has to decide. And they have to be cautious with how they use it, unless they are an extremely fast caffeine metabolizer and it really doesn't make any type of difference. Another interesting side fact was that in my conversations with James Hewitt, the human performance scientist, the difference between using caffeine and modafinil, I believe it was, were pretty much the same. So much for shiny pills in small boxes that people brandish as being performance enhancing. We want to understand what works for us and use the better options. Interestingly, I have also doubled down on the use of melatonin. I don't particularly like it. I don't use it. I have tried it in the past. But the field, or the emerging field, of chronopharmacology and the fact that we have different tolerances depending on when we take a drug, a hormone, or a substance is an interesting insight as to the fact that unless you have a detailed understanding of what your chronotype or how your chronotype will respond to the specifics of a pharmacological substance, then you're pretty much guessing when you're taking melatonin. It might have some degree of effect that might be perceived or deemed beneficial, but you don't know that for sure over and above the fact that it's possibly helping you get sleep when you need it. But there are other interactions that it could have, and therefore I think it's still safer to use some of the precursors in that pathway rather than melatonin itself. I say that as what I'm comfortable with, but again, using something like Time Shifter, it does actually support the idea that if you want to use melatonin, you can go ahead and do that. But as I say, in light of chronopharmacology, I think it's probably best to use some of the precursors. What I am now doubling down on and quadrupling down on are the routines and habits that support circadian health. And I say circadian health as, you know, the science, circadian science includes those types of things at one end of the spectrum and other things. But these are the tools that are immediate to us that we can use to actually help us optimize our circadian rhythm. sleep and nutrition are definitely high up there, as well as mastering your light exposure in accordance with your chronotype. But there are other habits and tools that could be individual to you that support that sense of timing and the correct timing that you need to explore as someone looking to manifest the best type of health that you can. In closing, one thing that Mickey Beyer-Clausen did mention specifically, and it brings a smile to my face as I'm recounting this now, is the idea of the circadian economy. When he said that, I said, whoa, the circadian economy. He said, yes, watch the circadian economy grow in about 5 years' time. And we will reap the benefits or the disadvantages of heeding what the circadian economy can teach us. So to put it into some kind of perspective, I went online and tried to Google what the circadian economy is. And in putting in the words circadian economy, could not bring up a single reference. So hopefully this podcast episode will change that. But the sleep economy, for instance, is worth billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. And it's measured in many different ways. Circadian economics, on the other hand, which I guess is part of the circadian economy, is still finding its way into the popular lexicon. But at the same time, it's useful to have an eye on how much it will be worth. Are we going to go down the road of understanding the value of timing? Is that what the circadian economy is at its roots? Is it more than that? It definitely ties into productivity. And I'm sure there are quite a few other areas where the circadian economy could be useful to understand, to reap its advantages and avoid its disadvantages. That was as much as I could find. And I look forward to welcoming Mickey Beyer-Clausen from Timeshifter back on the program, perhaps more than 5 years down the line or sooner, so that we can have another discussion about how much it's grown and the state of affairs when it comes to thinking, speaking about circadian science and how it can help us lead better, healthier and natural lives. If you're looking for somewhere to start this journey, or you're already on the journey and you're looking for some worthwhile tools, go to No Jet Stress on Instagram, click my bio and download the Resilience Checklist for Travellers. Wherever you go, farewell.